We're pleased this morning to have the opportunity to hear from President and Sister Samuelson. If you've attended past devotionals at which they've spoken, you will already be familiar with their basic biographical information. You will know, for example, that Sister Samuelson graduated with honors in history from the University of Utah, then taught school to help her husband through his early years of medical school until she became a full-time homemaker and mother to their five children. You will also know that she enjoys reading, cooking, and playing tennis. Most of you will also already know that President Samuelson completed his formal medical education at the University of Utah and Duke University, and that he then served at the University of Utah as a professor of medicine, dean of the School of Medicine, and vice president of health sciences. You will also know that he was called to the Quorum of the 70 in 1994, and that when he received his current assignment as the 12th president of Brigham Young University in 2003, he was serving as one of the presidents of the 70. What I have come to learn in the past year and a half that I've had the opportunity to associate with them is that both President and Sister Samuelson have a keen sense of humor and a gift for making any person, from the highest of governmental officials to the most humble child, feel comfortable in any situation. Those two gifts require knowing a lot about a lot of things. It also requires a great love for people. It is telling in that regard that while they both have several impressive titles, one of their favorites is Grandpa and Grandma, one invoked with enthusiasm by their 12 grandchildren. Each of them also has other lesser-known but equally impressive talents and interests. As those of you who have sat by her in athletic events know, Sister Samuelson is an avid and incredibly knowledgeable BYU sports fan, one who usually knows, for example, the names and key statistics of all the members of both the men's and the women's basketball team, information that many of the most ardent Cougar United members could not provide. As for the president, he is a very gifted and energetic craftsman. While I take pride in the fact that I can change the light bulbs and furnace filters in my house, President Samuelson literally built his house. In his spare time, while serving in a state presidency and working as a physician and faculty member at the School of Medicine, writing articles such as one in the Journal of Clinical Investigation entitled Hematologic and Serologic Studies in 6-SAI Arthritis. 6-SAI arthritis actually has a longer name that I can't even pronounce. As I said, they both know a lot about a lot of things. Most important of all, both President and Sister Samuelson have a deep understanding and unwavering testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a profound love for young people, especially those at BYU. We are blessed to have them leading this university, and we look forward to hearing from them this morning. And now we'll have the opportunity of hearing from Sister Samuelson.
Good morning. It is indeed a privilege to stand before this assembly and welcome each one of you back on campus to begin the 2010 school year. My heart is full of gratitude for the opportunity I have to associate with such an amazing group of young men and women here at Brigham Young University. Each of you is representative of a generation of young men and women who will, in the near future, go out into the world and do great and marvelous things, some within the public scrutiny and some more private and personal. You will eventually be found throughout the world because, indeed, the world will be your campus. To quote from that well-known author, Dr. Seuss, who, without being aware of it, describes you when he states, "Oh, the places you'll go, you'll be on your way up, you'll be seeing great sights, you'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. Wherever you fly, you'll be best of the best. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose." There is a scripture found in Revelation 3:8, and it reads, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." The Lord has promised each one of you that he will open doors for you to enter and be a beacon of light to follow, if you but serve him. He will make available opportunities and experiences which can help you be successful in both the secular and temporal areas of your life. When you seek and listen to the Spirit and follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost, many blessings will be forthcoming. Prospects for expanding your horizons and many of life's experiences are boundless if you enter the doors which the Lord provides for you, commensurate with your faith. In fact, he has said that these doors cannot be shut by man, but you can close them yourself if you shut him out of your life. At the present time, you are students studying to achieve important goals in your lives. You desire to gain an education, which hopefully will enable you to be successful in future professional and personal endeavors. In the months and years ahead, you will be entering doors which will lead you to places and offer you opportunities you may not imagine at the present time. As you make your way on the pathways of life, there will be many of these doors available to you. There will be times in your future when the door you enter may take you on a road which may be strewn with pain, heartache, and suffering, and you would choose not to take it if that choice were possible. Individual struggles, however, are necessary for your eternal progression. These trials test your faith, endurance, and submission to the will of the Lord and are part of God's plan for you. Also, it is so essential that you always recognize and acknowledge the source of all the blessings you receive and act accordingly. In 1 Timothy 4:12, you are admonished as a youthful generation to be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. When was the last time you read or recited the 13 articles of faith? All but one of them begin with the words, I believe. Therefore, it certainly would be a good reminder to you of what we as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints profess to believe if you would do so. You live in a world where conditions economically, politically, and socially can be extremely dark and depressing without the hope and knowledge of Christ's mission and message. To this world and its people, you are needed to be an example in all you do of the beliefs stated in this body of Scripture. Those who observe your lifestyle and behavior learn a great deal about your character, faith, and values. Excuse me. They can be inspired by your example if you follow the teachings of our Savior Jesus Christ. It is possible, however, for the opposite to occur if your words and actions are not consistent with the principles and teachings of the gospel. President David O. McKay was the president of the church during my high school and college years. Just as Presidents Gordon B. Hinckley and Thomas S. Monson will be the ones whom you will recall as influenced you during these same tender years in your lives, President McKay is the one I admired, loved, and strived to heed his counsel. When I enter the Missionary Training Center in Provo periodically, I am reminded of him when I view the replica of a stone which is on display in the main entrance. The inscription on the stone influenced President McKay throughout his whole life. The message came at a time when President McKay was serving his first mission in Scotland, and he was very discouraged and downhearted. He had just received a rebuke from a Scottish woman to whom he had presented a tract. The prejudice and misconceptions he felt the people had toward him and the church hurt him very deeply. As he departed from the Scottish town of Stirling after touring its historic castle on the same day, he had the following life-altering experience. As we were coming back into town, I saw on my right an unfinished dwelling over the front door of which there was some carving. That was most unusual, so I said to Elder Johnston, I'm going to see what that is. I was halfway up the graveled walk when there came to my eyesight a striking motto carved in stone, whate'er thou art, act well thy part. I repeated it to Elder Johnston as we walked into town to find a place for our lodgings before we began our work. We walked quietly, but I said to myself, or the Spirit within me whispered, you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. More than that, you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. You accepted the responsibility as a representative of the church. I accepted the message given to me on that stone, and from that moment, we tried to do our part as missionaries in Scotland. President McKay spoke often of this experience and how powerful and influential the message on the stone was to him and how it became an important guideline throughout his life. In fact, Francis Gibbons, in his biography of President McKay, stated, "There can be no doubt that his experience, which planted the motto on his mind under such unusual circumstances, was one of the major factors in the growth and development of David O. McKay." President McKay, of course, also reiterated that the message applied to moral and lawful endeavors and not to harmful or villainous actions. Today it remains a reminder to us of the scripture found in Mosiah 18:9, where we are admonished to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places. As my husband and I were raising our family, we jokingly, but very seriously, would say to our children periodically as they left the house for various reasons, "Remember who you are and what you represent." We were reminding them that they were a son or daughter of Heavenly Father, and that their behavior in every word and action was representative of their family, church, and God. Presently, you have different roles in your lives. These roles often change from day to day or even hour to hour. As mentioned previously, each of you is a student at Brigham Young University who is striving to be successful in every aspect of that role. Hopefully, you will periodically recall the motto of President McKay and remember to act well by part in your day-to-day activities. You can be found learning in the classrooms, studying in the library or cafeterias, walking on campus, working at jobs on or off campus, attending sporting events in different venues on this campus or away, driving motorized vehicles, socializing with friends and classmates, or attending your church meetings. I could, of course, continue with a much more extensive list. Hopefully, as a student here, you understand and are an example of the motto, "Whate'er thou art, act well thy part." The Lord has opened a door for you to attend BYU with its attendant blessings, challenges, expectations, and experiences. At the doorway to this campus, you are reminded to enter to learn, go forth to serve. He would have each of you remember who you are and how much he loves you as one of his spiritual sons or daughters. He would have you serve your fellow men, benefiting them and making this world better for your having lived in it. Your lives will continue with new roles as you leave campus life. You will find yourselves having different ones in your families. You will serve in many different capacities and assignments in the church. You will be leaders as well as followers. In the workplace and home, you will create, teach, learn, serve, and so forth. You will have vitally important roles in your community, family, and church. Throughout your life, you will have opportunities each day to be reminded of the admonition that was followed by a prophet of the Lord, "Whate'er thou art, act well thy part." I have a testimony that the Lord lives, and that we will be blessed as we enter the righteous doors he will provide for us if we but serve him. I am thankful for our prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, to guide, teach, and counsel us. May we all be examples of the believers and act well our parts is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.